We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door, what a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart, you're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested podcast, coming to you live Sunday, March 24th. As the Thunder just lost a stinker to the, almost said Minnesota Timberwolves, to the Milwaukee Bucks. We are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. I got my guy, J.D. Silva, with me tonight.
Fellas. I don't want to be around anymore.
We've got Justin Peabody.
Hello, everybody.
We've got Nick Crane.
I was hoping Taylor Sander would be used in a fun way tonight.
Yeah, I think we should all say Bucks in a really sad way, and that can be the new Sander.
Nick, you want to kick us off?
No.
Okay.
Bucks. Bucks.
Was that Hank Hill? Sounded like a bull.
Bull.
The Thunder lose the Bucks 118-93.
Dang it, Bobby Portis.
We will... We'll dive into that one here in a moment. Before we do, though, I want to give a big shout out to everyone tuning in live tonight. Even though it was a stinker of a game, we still got a lot of people here in the chat. So thank you so much for tuning in. Get your comments, your questions, your hot takes in, because we will be doing Dave's Hot Chicken Hot Take of the Night tonight. We'd love to read some of your hot takes, so fire them off in the chat. Also, while you're here, make sure to drop a like on this video. It would mean a ton to us. If you're listening to the podcast version or watching the YouTube video, probably on Monday, thank you for tuning into the show. We appreciate it. Drop that thumbs up on YouTube. Hit that 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. We really appreciate it. Trying to ramp up on our way to the NBA playoffs. Regardless of how bad tonight was, we will still be talking about playoff basketball. So do not fret, folks. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, though. We've got this game. We've got the hot take of the night. Got a few other segments I'm kind of excited to talk about. Some interesting Western Conference playoff races that are really fun. But let's start with the stinker, 118-93 up in Milwaukee. JD, every time we do a post game, we start off with the theme of the night, the headline, the biggest talking point. What do you got?
I think the Bucks made the Thunder look like little boys. I think that's what I was thinking. I had a generally bad time. I've already, feel like I need to go journal my thoughts and move on from this one. This was just a tough watch. You know, I was watching the first half while making dinner, and I found myself more and more just not wanting to look at the screen.
What'd you make?
It was just ugly. Oh, I made like a pasta asparagus. Red
You're
sauce.
A big pasta guy.
I am. You know, it's easy.
Throw in a little pasta boy over here.
Forget about it.
Jada Silva.
I just want it to be known that JD just said, this game made me want to go journal. And I heard make me want to go juror. And I thought we were going in a very different direction. And I got really worried for a moment. Well,
you were alone in that category. I don't think any of us thought we were going there.
JD and the Hogs.
To be fair, Silva's point made the Thunder look like little boys. In reality, they kind of are little boys compared to the Bucks. Like we talked pregame. If you look at the age of every player, there's like a 7-year difference across the board. Yeah. Like literally.
Yeah.
It's a very veteran experienced old team.
I think doing a full deconstruction of the made them look like little boys joke tonight would be is the best way we could have started this episode. I think Chet's performance honestly kind of encapsulates what the whole team went through. Chet was 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, 4 rebounds, no assists. Just kind of got, I mean, the Bucks present a challenging combination that the Thunder aren't going to find anywhere else, and that's Brook Lopez and Giannis. And they play a guy, someone who's no longer my guy, I've decided, Bobby Portis, also.
How dissimilar is that to Rudy, Cat, and Naz Reid?
I actually thought about that, and I don't think Cat is the outlier. He does not present the same levels of physicality as Giannis does. Like, Giannis just...
Oh, for sure.
Charges into you every single time.
Yeah. I think one thing, I guess if we're talking themes, like the discourse around, oh, this is how you stop the Thunder. It's like every time the Thunder lose a game like this, Twitter is like, oh, this is what they're going to do in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's what you could do in the playoffs or in the regular season, Oklahoma City wouldn't have won 49 of their first, 61 games? So is that math right? 71 games?
Feels right.
Basically almost went 50 and 20 to start the year. Secondly, what the Bucks did happens every night. Like, pack the paint. Don't let them try to score inside. Play physical with Chet. Don't let Shea drive. The difference is on most nights, they're hitting perimeter shots, so it naturally forces them to alleviate that game plan that they start with and start going out on shooters, and then the lanes open up on drives. Tonight, the shots were not falling, and so like the ability to clog the lane was bright. So like my big theme or argument to the timeline tonight is what the Bucks did is not that different than what other teams do. It's just they couldn't hit shots to make them change the way they defended the Thunder.
That's exactly what my takeaway was going to be, Nick, is it's word a make or miss. Yes. Let me start at the top. No, it's a make or miss league. It's a make or miss league. And this team, I feel like more often than not, when we're sitting here after these games that just feel like a stinker, it's because they missed a lot of shots, inside, outside, take your pick. And I think what you said, right, is this offense is predicated on being able to make you pay for trying to stop the drives. And if you can't do that, then it's a lot easier to shut down what the Thunder want to do. Is it like, should we be in crisis mode? No. Does it suck? Yes. Like, it's a bummer, right? You want to see them come out and kind of give their best against the best in the NBA. And the schedule continues to kind of ramp up a little bit. So they're going to have to rebound from this. And I think they can do so, right? There's not these like drastic game plan issues that I see in terms of like you said, Nick, of, oh, well, there's the blueprint. Like, yeah, if the Thunder shoot like crap, yes, they'll probably lose. And they could lose a playoff series if they shoot that poorly for an entire series. Like, yes.
They will lose a playoff series.
Right.
Yeah, for reference, tonight the team shot 37% from the field, 23% from three. Like, just no NBA team is winning with shooting splits like that ever.
Yep.
I was on the Twitter handle tonight for us, and I thought first half, like, the Thunder defense was really crisp. Dame got nothing until the game was really in hand. Like, I thought the Thunder played great defense on Dame.
He was 1 of 8 at half.
Yeah, I thought the offensive, like, progression was really good. I just think Justin hit the nail on the head. They just did not hit shots. I think their first 4 or 5 3-pointers were wide open looks, like great looking offense generated off driving kick. really what the Thunder did was on offense was bring the ball down. It felt like the game was really slow too. I don't know what the fast break opportunities were for the Thunder, but it felt like it wasn't a lot. So in half court, they bring the ball up. Whoever Dame is guarding, that guy came and set the screen because the Thunder wanted to go at Damian Lillard every single possession. They would get the switch. They would bully him down into the lane, draw the extra defenders, and spray out to shooters. And guys just didn't hit shots. And I think that's really what it comes down to, Justin. The offensive game plan was like you executed everything except the ball going in the hoop. And sometimes, like, them's just the breaks. That's what happens sometimes. You guys were talking about the blueprint, right? The blueprint, pack the paint, do this, do that. The blueprint has been put a big on Josh Giddey, cheat off of him, and clog that lane even more. The Bucks didn't do that tonight. The Bucks put, like, Dame on him and then other wings on him. And Josh Giddey went 19-9-8 on 7 of 12 from the floor. Now, the 4-6 from 3 is a bit of an anomaly based off of a very large sample size. He doesn't shoot that well. But he was finishing at the rim. He was playing. Like, this might have been, considering the competition, it's hard to, like, parse this out. Because the competition was really good. But the game was really bad. So how do we balance that? I thought it's the best Josh has looked in months.
Well, the best part of his game was the first half when it was close. So I think it definitely was his best half, like, without question.
Taylor's trying to talk and is muted.
Yeah, your mic's betraying you, Taylor. I also, to give Milwaukee a little bit of credit, like, their defense was abnormally good. Like, they were closing out like their asses were on fire. I've not seen many teams close out like that against OKC this season either. Thought they looked the best when Dame was on the bench, also, when good old Pat Bev was out there.
Pat Bev. Hey, TP.
It worked. There we
it
go.
Worked.
What a disaster.
Yes. Taylor's been fighting through pod, tech issues.
Goodness. Like, for 10 minutes before the pod and like 5 minutes after the pod started, I was just going to say, Jacob, you mentioned the fast break points or just the transition opportunities for the Thunder. They had 12 fast break points, even though they forced 16 Bucks turnovers.
Yeah, just the game just kind of felt like a slog the entire way, especially that first half, which just the first half was an old school fist fight. Like, it was ugly as hell. But JD, you just said you thought the Bucks looked their best when Dame was off the court. I kind of tend to agree. Like, I thought the Thunder really neutralized Dame offensively and then defensively just like went at him over and over and over again. Now, obviously, the Thunder played a horrific offensive game. But again, I thought the process was good. The shots just didn't go in the hoop. I think that's going to be a bit of a problem for the Bucks come playoff time. Like, whoever they play is just going to go at Dame over and over and over and over again. The guy's kind of barbecue chicken on the defensive end.
Is that the blueprint?
Hunting him. Yeah, that's the blueprint.
It's the theme of this episode, blueprints.
The Thunder were hunting him, though. Mm-hmm. Like, they were trying to get him on Shea.
One more takeaway for me. Not that I'm sitting here saying that Chet should win Rookie of the Year, because he shouldn't, to be clear. He's been phenomenal, but Wemby's just bonkers. I think tonight shows like the value of his impact when he is on, and how he, like, we know this team has taken another significant jump from last season. And it's always hard to pin down like how much of that's Chet versus like Shea taking a leap and Dub taking a leap and the team playing together for another year and the consistency and the chemistry. A game like tonight, where I'm going to do like a compliment sandwich. Chet was awful, but I think it shows like when he's on, this team is like really hard to beat. When he's off, they're awful. Like he had no dog in him tonight. Like, no physicality. It just looked lost. Like there was times where he had a nice little floater, could have gone at someone's chest and was like kicking out to three pointers. Just didn't look like himself. And the Thunder were horrible because of it. Not just because of him, but I think that swing that you see in a player speaks to the impact that they have on an individual roster.
You guys mentioned,
Nick, just so we're clear, the compliment sandwich goes the other way, where it's compliment, like criticism, compliment, not
that's what I did.
Criticism, compliment, criticism,
criticism, compliment in the middle, then more criticism at the end.
I said,
which Chet, I think is fair for tonight.
Chet has been phenomenal this season. And then I said he was awful tonight, but that speaks to his impact and how good he is because he swings the team.
Touche. Maybe it was more like a compliment lasagna because there, I think there's a lot of layers.
There's a lot of layers, which I think is fair for tonight. Chet obviously struggled. I think one reason, Jacob, you mentioned the Bucks not sending out a center to guard Giddy. I have to do it.
Can we get a sad one, Taylor?
Bucks.
Oh God! Please clip that.
Justin was Hank Hill for his.
I missed that.
Dang it, Bobby Portis.
My technical difficulties. Yeah, it's like ingrained in my head now. I'm sure it's ingrained in the listener's head as well. Like a sad Bucks or just like a Bucks?
Give us a different spin on Bucks I haven't seen yet.
Oh, man. I only have like one gimmick.
It's an angry Bucks.
Bucks.
Well, think about it and just drop it at some random point in the show tonight.
Bucks?
This is a little Bucks surprise.
Bust. You guys are so great at just making my points just completely be meaningless because of other nonsense. I was going to reiterate Jacob's point about the Bucks not can't even say Bucks now, not guarding Josh with a center because I thought Brooke Lopez did such a great job with Chet, taking him out of the game immediately due to his versatility, being able to guard him on the perimeter, and also being able to just be an inferior paint presence down low. Chet got absolutely bullied. And that kind of goes back to a bigger thing that I didn't get to touch on. You all did a good job of doing so. But when the Thunder aren't hitting those outside shots, I think that is why we saw players like Chet and Shai both struggle a lot offensively tonight. I saw a lot of tweets about, why isn't Shai trying to get to the rim? And my counter argument is he was early, but the Bucks were just absolutely packing the paint. He had no opportunity to when he's being surrounded by Brook Lopez and like two other wings, whoever it may be. And that kind of led to him getting frustrated, being a little, starting to be a little more passive, forcing shots from outside. Like, it just completely threw him and Chet off of their respective games. But if the Thunder are able to hit some of those outside shots early, which they obviously weren't able to, that opens up the floor so much for guys like Chet and Shai and allows them to play their game, allows his team to be able to push the ball in transition, things of that nature. And we just didn't see that at all tonight.
I have a question for you guys, because this is a point that I feel like we've talked about a lot, and I feel like tonight is the perfect example to bring it up. I think Nick was the original, the originator of this point, and so I'd be interested to hear your answer as well, Nick. Gordon Hayward, we talked about, can do a little bit of everything, isn't trying to force himself on this team, is really taking the back seat. But he's a guy that when you need him to score, like, he's got a very long history of being able to do so. Tonight felt like the night where no one else can hit a shot and you need Gordon to get in there and get aggressive with his offense and get some shots up. Tonight he was, let me get it pulled up here, 14 minutes, 0 of 3 from 3, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 turnover. So 3 shots in 14 minutes, which is actually, I think, a little bit better than his shots per minute average so far. Which is bad.
That's so bad.
Like, what about shots per 75, shots per 100? Give us some more.
Like, where
I assume it gets worse
with Gordon and what we're seeing from him. Because tonight felt like the night, hey, everything else sucks. Someone needs to go out there and just try, like, do something. Like, get some shots up. And Gordon, again, like, he had the play again where the ball got swung to him for an open three. He doesn't even look at the rim. He just immediately shuffles it to Josh in the corner. Josh hit the three and credit to Josh, but like, shoot the damn ball, my guy. Where are you guys at with the Gordon Hayward situation?
I'll be surprised if we get anything meaningful out of Gordon at this point. I think that, you know, we mostly you, Jacob, held on to this hope that, like, he was deferring or just fitting in. I don't know. Like you said, tonight felt like a good night to show off a bit. If you had it, if you got it, flaunt it. He didn't flaunt it. Maybe he don't got it.
My argument to that, two arguments, because I'm maybe it's me, not Jacob, that still has belief that he can help this team in the playoffs.
Okay, fair.
And maybe it's Jacob too. I think two things. One, if he had the green light to go out there and get the shots up, nothing's working, go out there and hoist. That's one thing. But I don't know if like he has the green light to do so. Like we on this podcast outside of the organization, it's like, tonight's the night, go chuck it. Like you got to have the kind of green light from your coach to do so. I don't know if he does.
Totally.
Another thing, like he played 14 minutes. If that was mostly the first half, and I'm not sure it was, it was a close game. Like, I don't think it was time to chuck it and see what worked. Like you were in it, right? Third quarter. If he played a lot of third quarter minutes, I'd have to go back and like look at the stats. I don't know if he did. Like, that's probably a good time to chuck it when you're down 17. The other thing is, it's easier said than done. Like, just go in there, Gordon, and make tonight the night that you scored all these points. Like, that's hard.
It's unfair to judge him. Go score the points, but at least take more than three freaking shots.
Yeah, you got to be a threat on the offensive side of the ball, and we haven't seen that from Gordon at all outside of creating for teammates. And I think
the best thing from the Gordon Hayward trade might be that Josh Giddey felt some pressure and is now hooping.
True.
Like that might be the benefit of the Josh or the Gordon Hayward trade at this point.
And also they create a lot of cap space, which is something we'll talk more about coming into the offseason. But my thing with Hayward, and I will save a lot of this for later on the podcast for a upcoming segment. I'm just kind of to the point where I feel like the Hayward minutes are a little forced right now. And I just continue to wonder if they should go elsewhere. For example, in the second quarter, when you plug in Aaron Wiggins with those lineups, obviously Shea's off the court, but the offense just flowed so much better, even if Wiggins isn't necessarily playing better. And that's just something that stood out to me a lot over the past couple of weeks.
I think you don't have to look much further than, right, we talk about fit and opportunity. And Nick, you bring up a great point of like, that just may not be the team's vision for Gordon. I don't really know what the team's vision is for Gordon, but like all you have to do is go look at Micic and Trey Mann in Charlotte and what they've been doing compared to what they did in Oklahoma City. It's not that they suddenly turned into a different player the second they stepped off the plane in Charlotte. It's that the opportunity and what they're being asked to do is totally different. I think the same is true in the inverse of Gordon Hayward. I don't know that he'll be asked to do more. If he does and he can, that's great. I just don't know what they want him to do.
I think that's fair. Where he is, you're running out of time before the end of the season to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because the playoffs are a little over 3 weeks away.
That's like, kind of where
they'll be here before you know it. Actually, I guess a month away, because at the end of the regular season, there will be a little bit more than a week off because of the play-in games. So,
question before we wrap this up. Has there been a game this year where you felt the reason Oklahoma City won was because Gordon Hayward played?
No.
I don't think there's ever going to be a game where I'm going to say they won or lost because of Hayward, just because that typically falls on your biggest guys. But there's been games where I think he's been like very impactful and helpful.
Reason I ask, this team entering tonight was number one in the West, and Gordon Hayward hasn't won a game for the Thunder. So, like, does it matter? They gave up next to nothing to acquire him. If like it,
how dare you?
You're right. Like, we probably are spending too much time talking about Hayward in that regard, especially when you think about the cap space that would clear in the offseason if they decide to move on.
We'll all be singing a different tune whenever they use that cap space to go sign Paul George this summer. Holy hell.
PG back to OKC.
Let's take our first break of the night. Now that we're done talking about the dumpster fire in Milwaukee, we'll move on to another section right after this short commercial break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. And since we are back, it's time for everybody's favorite segment of the week, Dave's Hot Chicken Hot Takes. The East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar Dave's Hot Chicken is now serving Oklahoma in Bricktown Edmond and soon coming in Chisholm Creek. Very soon, actually. I had a fan of the show tell me today, hey, I was at Topgolf in Chisholm Creek, that Dave's is almost open. So if you're on the north side, be on the lookout. Their mouth-watering sliders and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice all the way to Reaper, which Nick and Taylor have experience with. Each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level or no spice at all, along with sides of house-made kale slaw, creamy mac and cheese, and crispy seasoned fries. And you can now try the new Dave's Not Chicken. Those are cauliflower slices that taste just like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. They're here for all you veggie-friendly folks. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop before or after the next Thunder home game. There are two home games this week, so make your way out to Dave's Hot Chicken. Gentlemen, it's time for the Dave's Hot Chicken Hot Take of the Week. For all of you who are tuned into the live stream right now, drop your hot takes of the week in the comments section. Title it Hot Take so we can star it and come back to them momentarily. Who wants to kick us off this week with your Hot Take of the Week?
I see Silva over there scheming.
Maybe Taylor's got ready. Another Gordon Hayward's going to score 20.
That's what I was just going to say.
That's right.
Who's going to fire that, off the
that
Hayward
will get
take.
Me back to Reaper level, just like my dub overshot, which is looking great since I fired off that take, by the way.
Oh, my God. I'll get us started here. Yeah. Is it this kind of paints a picture of how I feel about this player at this point, but I almost feel like my hot take could be a Gordon Hayward related prediction.
Oh boy.
It's not going to be. It's not going to be. I won't be tempted by that. Instead, a guy we loved for a long time and still love somewhat, Isaiah Joe. He has been really struggling offensively for more than a month now, it feels like. It's just been a while.
It's been a while.
Yes. So how about we get Isaiah Joe is going to hit 10 of his next 15 threes.
Woo!
I've been brewing this for a while. And by a while, I mean 4 hours. My numbers have changed. It was a scoring total. It was a percentage. How about 10 of the next 15?
Love it. I'll give the extra hot.
Okay.
10 and 15 feels like a lot, but I love it.
I'll go hot.
10 of 15.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
He doable, did do though. Something fairly, fairly similar early in the season. But since then, we have not seen the same.
Extra hot.
Yeah.
Dang.
I'm going extra hot as well.
Three extra hots.
All right.
It's not like absurd though, because obviously we know with shooters like Isaiah Joe, they can turn it on. But that is a lot of shot attempts.
I'm not signing the waiver, but I'm sweating a little bit when it's done. Like, this is a tough one.
I'll go next because I also have a Isaiah Joe hot take.
So I think that the theme with this segment is like, what do you really want to happen? And we're going to speak into existence.
That's right. Yeah. Dave's hot manifestations. So Isaiah Joe is going to win a playoff game for this team with a 30-plus point performance. Hello. Hello. We're talking like the infamous out party that he did in Dallas 2 years ago. I'm talking that level of.
Did he score 30 in that game?
No.
No.
But he only played like, scored 30. He only played like 10 minutes in that game.
You're guaranteed four games.
Wow.
The most. Yeah. I'm doing the math here. Uh-huh. So you're saying Isaiah Joe's going to have the best game of his career, score 30 and win a game for the Thunder at some point during a stretch that could be as little as four games.
Correct.
That is Reaper, my yes. friend.
I will be signing that waiver.
How many 30 plus point games does Isaiah Joe have in his NBA career?
Do you have it pulled up?
I do have it pulled up.
One.
Two.
I would also guess one.
I mean, I kind of wanted to say zero.
Do it.
I'll go zero.
One.
Damn it.
He scored 33 once.
Who this was it?
Yeah. So
who was it against?
Yeah.
It was March 28th, 2023, in a loss to the Charlotte Hornets. That was that home game against the Hornets where PJ Washington looked like prime LeBron James. Right. He went 11 of 18 from the field, 6 of 11 from three. He had 33 points. Two rebounds and an assist.
March 28th, 2023. Sounds like we're due. That's what that sounds right. like to me.
My take on this one is not only is this Reaper, it is Reaper where they don't even put the sauce on the damn tender. They just give you the sauce and you just like snort it.
Oh my gosh.
Unbelievable.
I win a prize for that?
Or it's Reaper where, lucky me, they gave me twice the amount of chicken that I ordered with that specific spice on it.
Correct.
You got to eat two tenders, not one.
Speaking of snorting that like hot spice or whatever they put on it, Nick and I were speaking texting of what? After leaving. Snorted. Jacob said that's like snorting.
I know, but where are you going spice. With this?
Yeah. Is this a I'm Dune reference? Saying
that Nick and I were texting each other afterwards, and we're like, yeah, we don't really feel the burn anymore in our mouths, but like still kind of have it in our nostrils after accidentally like rubbing our noses and stuff. Uh-huh. That stuff lingers.
I thought this was going in a totally different direction.
I didn't know. Yeah. Didn't want to know.
Yeah, all right. We got two Isaiah Joe hot takes so far.
I've got
the spice level.
I've got we said Reaper, right?
Kidding. It's Reaper. It's not very
that's Reaper.
Also, Isaiah Joe's shooting 29% from three in March.
Not good. Not good.
Good thing the playoffs are in April.
Yes.
Good thing. So my hot take is a question for you guys. I'm going to give you two scenarios that I think are possible. And I want you to tell me which one is hotter on the scale. Okay. In the first round, the Oklahoma City Thunder will play blank. The two options, which one's hotter? Houston Rockets, LA Clippers.
Ooh, I like that. I think hotter would be the Clippers for them to fall that much.
This is a hot take on will the Clippers jump?
No.
The Rockets jump or the Clippers and the Thunder slip.
Yeah, right. my hypothetical is like Thunder
3-6
and Rockets are 1-8 probably or 2-7. I guess they couldn't be 7, that'd be 8. So that'd be 1-8. So do you think the Thunder would be 1 and the Rockets win the play-in with two wins? Or do you think the Thunder would fall to 3 and the Clippers fall to 6? What's more likely?
I think it is much more likely that it's Thunder Rockets than it is Thunder Clippers.
Agreed.
Really?
I would say the Clippers falling would be extra hot using the scale, where the Rockets rising would be hot. given what we've seen over the past couple of weeks.
The Clippers are currently, so if you look at, the Clippers are fourth, the Suns are sixth. There is 2.5 games, which is a lot to cover with how few games are remaining, but at this rate, is it crazy?
I don't think it's crazy that it could be a 3-6 matchup.
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy that it could be a 3-6 matchup. I have less faith that a team like in the 6-7-8 slot is going to play good enough to jump the Clippers. Even though the Clippers are at 500 basketball since the break, I don't think any of those other teams are like getting hot. At this point in the season, I kind of feel like teams are what they've shown us they are for the entire season. And I just don't see the Suns or the Kings or the Mavs making that jump.
Is Harden going to keep playing defense on Kawhi?
Got it. Right, so.
Good grief.
The ideal scenario, though, is, I can't believe I'm about to say this, you do get Houston in the first round because you stay in that one slot, and that means you got a chance to play the Clippers in the second round. Like, Zach or Lowe said the other day that the Thunder don't match up well with the Clippers, and I really respect Zach Lowe, and that blew my freaking mind. I think the Thunder would smoke the Clippers.
Really?
I think they match up better with the Clippers than anyone else in the top five. I'd rather the Clippers and the Pelicans, like, any day.
I would, too. I'm just not that confident.
Yeah, I'm with you. Probably of the teams in the top four, I think the Clippers is who I'd want. But I wouldn't, like, feel good about it.
You wouldn't pick the Thunder to win that series?
Not.
I think it's a 6 or 7 game series.
I mean, do I think they would win or do I think they have a chance to win? Absolutely. If I'm sitting there at a Vegas sports book, am I like slapping down my money saying,
would you rather Clippers or, we're getting off topic here, would you rather Clippers or Lakers in a playoff series?
Lakers match up better, but I'm still going Lakers.
Is it at least a conversation, though?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a conversation.
There's nobody in the top 10 right now that I feel good about, to be fair.
That's kind of my thoughts.
Nobody in the top 10. I'm
I think the flip side is true, too, though, that there's nobody in the top 10 that's saying, like, oh, my God, I hope we draw the OKC Thunder. That would be an easy playoff series. Like,
besides all 10 of their fan bases, yes.
Yeah,
100%.
The teams themselves, yes. That kind of leads me to my hot take. I think the Thunder need to rest Shea this week for at least a game or two. And I looked up the last five games of his compared to the season as a whole. The last five games aren't as good as his regular season stats. Shocker. But they're still pretty damn good because it's Shea. But all that being said, you guys mentioned like playoff seeding. I think about the playoff seeding. I know, Jacob, you were mentioning in the Slack, and I agree with this completely. Being able to hold on to that one seed and then getting a Pelicans or a Clippers in the second round seems a lot better than the alternative. At the same time, the Thunder aren't playing their best basketball right now, and I don't think they have been for the past 2 weeks or so, and I think that's largely led by a subpar Shea to his standards, the MVP standards that we've become accustomed to this season. And the West is just such a gauntlet. Like, I don't think there's that much discrepancy between playing like the Lakers versus the Clippers or whatever it may be. And I just think when the Thunder are playing their best basketball, like we saw heading into the All-Star break, they can beat any of those teams in a 7-game series. I'd rather have a 100% healthy OKC Thunder team led by Shea and J-Dub rather than this team that we've seen over the past 2 weeks. So that's kind of where I got that.
I'll give a thought before I give a rating. I don't know if I agree that he needs to rest if he doesn't. He was hobbling around a lot tonight.
And I know he doesn't want to rest. That's another
thing. Sure. Yeah. I think that you're onto something. Like, I know we generally are pretty like positive on this podcast. Last 2 weeks, Shea has not been MVP caliber at all. Like, he's been great. Like, better than I thought Shea Gilgeous-Alexander would ever be 3 years ago. But he's not been MVP caliber. And I don't know if that's like maybe Taylor onto something. He's, you know, fighting through injuries. I'd argue
physical,
every guy,
mental,
every guy at this point in the season is probably in the same boat. But he definitely has not been MVP SGA that we saw for a good chunk of the season, for sure. So I'll say hot. Like, I don't think he needs to rest. Like, could he use it? Sure. I don't think he needs it.
I'm kind of with Nick. So resting two games this week, I'm going to go hot on this one. Like, he does look tired, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
I think I'd go medium myself, which is, you know, not that much different. I kind of hope that it comes in taking care of business against teams that are not so great. The few games you get against those teams that are not so great down the stretch of the season, and maybe you just play less minutes those nights. I'd be cool with that. But I don't think he wants to rest. I don't think he will choose to rest unless something happens. It feels like he's hobbling at the end of every game right now.
I think this is Reaper. I don't think there's any chance Shea rests this week at all. I think if he rests, it's going to be the end of the season, last week.
Yeah, and the keyword there is rest versus, like, injury report says, like, thigh or like something.
I don't even think that happens.
You don't think there's any chance that he pops up with injury report is questionable this week?
No.
Okay, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, you framed it as rest. It's very different than...
Yeah, I mean, the Thunder are never going to... I don't know. That's not how they do things. It'll be, you know, left pinky toe abrasion, and he'd do whatever.
I like how Justin interpreted this, because I said I think the Thunder need to rest him, which is why I think I got the responses from Nick and Jacob and JD compared to Justin. I left that kind of open for that.
Choose your words wisely, Taylor.
That's what I did. I wanted mixed reactions.
Justin, you want to take us through some of the fan hot takes of the week?
Yeah, we got a few. Wow. Let's start with some doom and gloom from Dorla. Hot take, Thunder actually get out of the first round, LOL. Guessing this is in a reaction to the game tonight. Where are you guys putting this
That's
one?
Fair.
Mild.
They're doing
I feel good about them getting out of the first round. Like, I really do. Even if it's the Lakers, which, like, everyone's so uptight about it possibly being the Lakers. I like them in a Lakers series. I really like them in a Warriors series. We'll talk about it here in a bit. If the Rockets do sneak in, I like them in a Rockets series. If it's Dallas, that one scares me. I feel good about the first round.
I agree.
All right.
We'll see.
Building off Taylor's take, Dwayne Thomas says Shea doesn't score 30 once this week.
Ooh. I give
four
that extra
games
hot.
On the schedule.
It's pretty damn Reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll get 30. Four games. He's averaging 30. I think that's
I mean, he is
100%.
He scored 31 on the dot like a quarter of the games this year. And so
right.
He might even score 31 on the dot in his next four.
Yep. Next up from Sean. Hot take, Tim McMahon says we're one traditional power forward away from being the best team in the league.
What is a traditional power forward?
That makes me think of, like, prime Taj Gibson, and I'm just not there.
Why does that
make you... That was a name, Taylor.
Prime Taj Gibson?
That's a traditional power forward.
You guys remember prime Taj Gibson?
That is a traditional big power forward. Another big who plays alongside a big center. Who can't space the floor or create for others, but gets
Zach Randolph?
Yeah,
I totally agree with you, Taylor. Just of all the names to pull, for you to go Taj Gibson.
My NBA knowledge is very like tunnel vision. OKC,
that is
all they need. Prime Daniel Orton.
If only they had Nerlens Noel.
Well, that's not a power forward, but I appreciate the reference.
Do I agree
so
with
we
this?
Agree? How hot is this? How hot is Tim via Sean?
It's
pretty
is
hot.
Is this like an inside joke? Does Tim McMahon say things like this?
He does, but it wasn't in the context that he said this. I think he strongly believes it. He thinks the Thunder need, like, I don't know. I mean, PJ Washington, maybe, although PJ's been terrible for
He's
the Mavericks.
Not, I don't think he qualifies as the tradition. I think they are a good power forward away from being arguably like just a perennial top 2-3 team in the league. Mm-hmm. But
Aaron
the
Gordon,
power forward I think of is like not Siakam, but in the vein of a Siakam or an OG, and a guy that can move the ball, who can hit threes, who's jumbo-sized and can defend.
Right.
I'm not looking for some son of a bitch to take 20 posts up a game.
Yeah, it's not traditional. Right.
Well, that is traditional. That is traditional. Not what they need.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I meant
David West.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going. We're pulling out some names here.
David West. Watch
the elbow sleeve.
Yeah. Yes. Carlos Boozer.
There all you right. go. Last but not least, Brendan, hot take. Thunder take another guard in this next draft.
I'll get that medium. Sam's always going to take the best player available that they like, regardless of position.
No clue where they're going to be picking at. But yeah, this is like a mile to me. Like, if they like a guard, they'll go get a guard.
Yeah, I'll probably go medium. But they're going to draft a guy that can handle the ball and play on the wing. And you could call him a guard, you can call him a forward, whatever. It's going to be a guy that plays on the wing if it is this.
A lot of comments in the chat, speaking of them taking a guard, about how they need a big because of nights like tonight. You know what a big does? A traditional big?
Plus the paint.
You know what happened tonight whenever they ran zero traditional bigs? Clogged the paint.
Yeah.
Like, the traditional big will do nothing but hurt this offense, not help it.
Got to hit those outside shots.
Ryan Anderson.
He's going to spit out power forward names the rest of the pod.
The rest of the pod, just randomly.
Just dropping like power forward names. Sure. The meme that's like guys will just sit around and name random old athletes all night.
Yeah.
Brandon Mass.
In real life.
I was about to say Lamar Odom, but honestly, Lamar would be awesome on this team.
Oh, God, yeah.
Lamar was incredible until he started smoking crack, but that's a different story.
Hate when that happens.
I thought we should take some time tonight. This has been, like, it feels like it's even more applicable tonight after, like, a bad game. This has been an incredible season. A season that, like, literally nobody predicted. This team, Sam Presti talked about how when it comes to making the playoffs, they want it to be an arrival, not an appearance. This team has arrived. Like, they are here. They have made a resounding statement throughout the league. And we've got to cover it every step of the way, which is awesome. But most of our talks this season, rightfully so, have revolved around the big three. Right? Chet, Dub, and Shai. Rightfully so, one has been an absolutely incredible rookie. One has had a second-year breakout that has us all thinking he's going to be a multi-time All-Star. And the third is currently second in the MVP voting. Like, of course, the conversation revolves around those three. But I wanted to spend tonight talking a little bit about some of the unsung heroes. Some of the role players, whether it be their timely production on the court or the vibes they provide, that has just made this team so much fun. I wanted to give those guys some shine tonight. So each of us, I think, have a role player we want to chat about. We can talk for a couple minutes about each one. But tonight is a night where we celebrate the guys that aren't scoring 30 a night and dropping highlight dunks and up for major awards. JD, why don't you kick us off?
Let's talk about Lugans Dort. He has been kind of everything we had hoped he would be from a shot diet point of view for the last two seasons, at least, when he kind of taking shots that would make us close our eyes and shake our head and wish for more. He could have gone. There were two paths he could have gone down. This was one. The other one was like Dylan Brooks, and fortunately he did not do that. He reeled it in. Mark has said over and over again that they didn't have to tell him to do it. He just did it. Like, he consulted with his own people and he chose to go this route and shoot. Because of these better shots he's taking, he's shooting 40% from three on like five attempts a game. He's just great. Like, he plays good defense every single night, obviously, with J-Dub. He and J-Dub are just a nightmare for opposing offenses every night. And yeah, Ludort, really, we really had no issues. Like, he'll have his off nights. He's still streaky, but it's been hard for me to find nights to complain about Lou.
I've got some receipts. I've heard some of your problems. I'm just kidding. I'll add on to that. I think Lou, his defensive impact goes beyond what he does. This is not, I don't think this is something that like Dubs talked about or Mark's talked about, but I would be shocked if guys like Jalen Williams and SGA and others improving on the defensive end wasn't because they see a guy like Lou do what he does and like model what he does. You know, like half of defense is effort, intensity, and like heart. And I think that Lou's a guy that like they always like the friend group you surround yourself with is like who you end up being. And I think that Lou just being like the locker room guy and the defender that he is on the court, it just like
it transcends. I unfortunately surrounded myself with Nick in high school, and that's why I turned out the way I am.
I was about to say,
but it's a good point.
You are your friend group. That's why I'm such an asshole, is because I'm on this podcast with you guys. Just kidding. I love all of you.
That's a great analogy. I also think it frees up the way Lou, again, it's contagious in regards to his tenacity and the way he gets after the ball, like you mentioned. But it also frees up players like Shea to play a little more of a free safety role. And I think that's a large reason why we've seen some more of those steals this season. I think that's you bring up good points there. I also think about Lou's three-point shooting. Again, I'm not sure how this looks over the past week, but leading into the week, that post-All-Star break, he was leading the league in three-point percentage, which is just absurd. He's been fantastic in that regard. And I love what you mentioned, him honing in those shots. Even when he is driving Silva, it's not nearly as uncontrolled as it was, where we were accustomed to him just throwing something off the backboard. Much more controlled, leading to him either getting to the free throw line or completing field goal attempts around the rim. So, yeah, Lou's been fantastic.
I'm also going to lose a bet I have with Nick. So I'll be writing a love poem about Lou Dort and reading it.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I love that. That's great.
I didn't know that was a payoff.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's that Lou Dort will make the all defense team. I don't think that's gonna happen. So look forward to that, audience.
What kind of poem? Are you gonna write a haiku?
No. That can't be a haiku.
Yeah. It says write a short love poem about Lou and read it on the pod. So expect that. One of our off-season pods.
We got to come up with some great background music as JD reads the poem.
Sure.
It's got to be like some music that really like sets the mood. And Oh yeah. It's going to be great.
Get the right lighting.
And I don't feel bad making it really awkward for you because you did not do half of your bets from last year. So
oh, of course. Correct. Of Still course. Due for some charges at Paycom.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Justin, who's your guy?
My guy is Jay Will. You got it. Like,
what the dog doing?
Before we even dive into anything that he's actually done on the court, like the dogs after the games in the post-game interviews, it's an all-timer. We're going to be talking about them in a decade from now. Like, we're going to always remember this season for that, if nothing else. So I appreciate, like, you were talking about how Lou sets the culture. Jay Will is a culture setter. You can see it. Like, his smile is infectious. The joy that he brings, you can't beat it. On the court, we know what he does, right? He's like a walking stereotype for the guy who takes charges. And unlike some people on Twitter.com that want to ban the charge, it ain't banned, and he's taking advantage of it. NBA leaderboard. Charges drawn per 36. You know who number one is in the entire NBA? It's Jalen Williams.
Jay Will.
You know what else is weird? There's two other Thunder guys in the top 10 that I did not know this until I looked up the stat. Do you guys know who they are? Yeah.
Isaiah Joe.
Kenrich Williams.
Boom.
Isaiah Joe is number five.
Top of the offensive fouls drawn, just maybe not charges.
Correct.
Yeah. Lou gets like a moving screen. That's a great point. Like 1.5 per game.
Yeah.
Nuts. Another stat that Jay Will was a lot higher than I anticipated him to be when I looked it up is defensive rating per 100 possessions. Let me look at it now. Jay Will is third. Number one is Chet. Number two is Olivier Saar, which we should probably throw out given the sample size.
Omitted.
So like Chet, then Jay Will in terms of D rating on this team. I think that says a lot about his impact on this team of like, he may not be racking up blocks because he's taking charges. Like his stats may not always jump off the page, but the defensive rating that he's bringing to the table and setting this team up for success when Chet's off the floor or sometimes together, I think that that, like, you can talk all you want about how this team needs a traditional big, but right now Jay Will's filling that role really nicely.
Post All-Star break, we've seen a lot more Jay Will almost every game coming in, backing up Chet in that center role, quote unquote center role. Sometimes we've seen some small ball lineups, obviously. But I love that you brought up those stats in comparison to Chet and Jay Will, because I keep coming back to that double big lineup. That's what we're calling it, even though it's maybe the more modern
double medium.
Double medium. Yeah, I like that. Double medium. And we haven't seen a ton of it here down the stretch of the regular season. I think maybe I'm wrong. I think there's a reason for that. I think we will see more of that in the playoffs, depending on obviously opponent matchup. But that's something I'm looking forward to seeing more of come playoff time.
Yeah,
it's Justin, hilarious. I thought you hit the nail on the head. Like, Jay Will is first team all teammate. Like, the vibes. Yes. Like, he is the ringleader of the bench mob.
Yep.
He's incredible. He's
always smiling.
Yep.
He's one of the. I don't know if there's ever been a Thunder player that has been so much fun to watch when he's not on the court. Just like everything he does, he's just constantly gassing guys up. The you mentioned the post game barking, but the pregame, as the lineups have been announced and Nick Gallo is doing a sideline interview, there's one guy that comes over there and massages his shoulders and slaps him a few times before getting in the high five lineup, and that's Jay Will. Like, his energy is absolutely infectious. He's a blast. He's an absolute blast.
That was, I agree. A
really awkward pause.
I have one. I picked none other than Aaron Wiggins. Going to be completely honest with you guys. When I picked him earlier today, I was thinking when I dove into the stats that they were going to back this up. Unfortunately, they did not quite do that. I won't read all of them off. His 67.3% true shooting percentage is a career high on a career low 4.1 field goal attempts. His player efficiency rating is right there at average of right around 15. His on-off stats, I looked up per cleaning the glass, they aren't great. In fact, they are not great enough that I'm not even going to mention them. However, stats aren't going to help me out here, but I think the intangibles that Wiggins brings night in and night out continue to impact this team significantly. It's kind of like what Nick was alluding to with Lu Dort, the intensity that he brings on both ends of the floor is infectious, I think, for this team. I think the offense moves more freely. I think a great example of that is the difference between the end of the first quarter and the second when you subbed out Gordon Hayward for Aaron Wiggins. And I almost think we need to focus a little more. It's kind of what I was getting at earlier. I see this team really trying to get Hayward more comfortable, thinking he can be a big piece come playoff time. But I wonder if we should be focusing more, or the team should be focusing more on getting Wiggins comfortable yet again, like we saw prior to the Hayward trade. And like, for example, we saw Wiggins with some of those lineups at the end of the first quarter with Shai still playing. Since that trade, we usually see him coming in at the beginning of the second quarter. We don't see him a lot with those starters, although we do sometimes down the stretch. Even though the stats don't quite back it up, I would like to see more Wiggins, more investment in Wiggins. I don't think we've seen a ton of that this season in comparison to somebody like a Gordon Hayward who really hasn't been performing very well.
Yeah, he makes momentum swinging plays. Even if he's not scoring a ton, feels like every shot that he makes is an important shot, a big shot, an energizing shot. For a while, that was Isaiah Joe this season, and now it's kind of Aaron Wiggins. And yeah, I'm with you. I wish you'd play more. And, you know, we'll see. It'll be night to night.
The one stat you didn't mention, 100% chance of saving basketball.
That is right. That's what he does.
It's true.
Seems to always come up in clutch moments. Not necessarily in the clutch, but throughout the majority of the game.
Right, right. He's been great. I think he will get a lot of playoff burn. Like, I think he's a guy that you can really trust who is incredibly versatile. To get him, what was he, the fourth to last pick in the draft? Like, Presti's ability to, like, find value in the second round has been so integral to filling out role players for this team that it's no surprise they stack up so many second round picks, because look at their success rate. And Wiggins is a guy who's like never complained about his role, has always been a team player. He's just been awesome.
Yep.
Three great role players. Been very impactful this season.
I just thought they deserved some due, so I'm glad we got to chat about them. Let's take a break. On the other side, we will talk a little bit about the Western Conference standings and make our predictions of the week. We will be right back.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we are back. Gentlemen. Let's talk Western Conference playoff picture because it's getting a little funky. We've got four races happening in the West right now. Race number one is for the number one seed. That would include the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Wolves, who are all within a game of each other. Race number two is for the four seed, where the Clippers are now only a half game up on the Pelicans. It feels almost locked that Clippers-Pelicans is going to be the 4-5 matchup, just who gets the home court there. Race number three is who gets out of the play-in. We have the Suns, the Kings, and the Mavericks all within half a game of each other. And then unlikely race number four is who misses the postseason altogether. That race includes the Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, and the Houston Rockets. After tonight, the Rockets are three games out of ninth against the Lakers, and the Lakers are currently playing basketball, and only one game out from 10th with the Golden State Warriors. We've talked about the race for number one to death. I do not want to spend a lot of time on the 4-5 race, so I'm just going to ask you quickly, if it's Clippers, Pelicans, and 4-5, who do you think is the four and who do you think is the five?
Kind of think the Pelicans, with the way they've been playing, the momentum they have, even with B.I. being out, like they have been, it's Zion. Zion is finally awoken as a basketball player, it seems like, and he is looking like his Duke self and what we thought he'd be in the NBA. I kind of think it would be them. And, you know, there's quotes coming out of the Clippers, like, we don't have an identity right now. That's just not what you want to see.
James Harden didn't stick around for post-game availability. Yeah. Count me as shocked. Never heard that
before.
Got to
go contest another teammate's jumper.
Yeah. Surprising to no one, there's not like a real leader there, not at least not a vocal leader, and you're seeing those cracks now.
So JD says the Pelicans. Nick, who do you say gets the four in that 4-5 race?
Clippers. As bad as they've been of late, we've seen them also be like this team in the West that you're like, oh, no one wants to play that team. Like, what? It was like a 20 game stretch where they basically didn't lose. I just think the highs are high and the lows are low. And right now it's super low, but it would not shock me if they just rattled off like 12 wins in their last 15 games or something.
Justin?
I'm going Pelicans. I think both these teams, you know, having lineups affected by injury is probably going to be the biggest factor into what actually determines this. But I think that the Clippers are just, they're hard to trust right now. And I think it could be like what you said, Nick, of like their ceiling is very high. We may not get to see that till the playoffs.
Taylor?
I agree. The Pelicans are 8-2 of their last 10. Clippers are 5-5. Seem to be unraveling at the wrong time, and there's not a lot of basketball left to be played.
And I think the Pelicans have the tiebreaker against them as well. Same thing on this next one. That one didn't go as fast as I had planned, so let's make this one go faster. Suns, Kings, Mavericks, the race to skip the play-in and get to 6. Who do you think gets that 6 seed out of Suns, Kings, Mavericks?
Mavericks?
I'm going to take the opposite approach of the last time. I took the team that's like variable. I feel the Mavs and the Suns have a much higher ceiling than the Kings, but I just think they're more like steady. Like if I trust a team to actually take care of business, I think it's got to be the Kings to me.
Yeah,
JD, who'd you say? The Mavs? And Justin said the Mavs?
The Mavs, yeah. Hey, the Kings, old Kevin Herter's out now. What are they going to do?
He's been awful this year, so it's probably a good thing.
This one's tough because each of the Kings and Mavs are only half game back of the Suns in the standings, and all three of those teams are 7-3 of their last 10. I'll be the contrarian. I'm going to go ahead and say that Booker and KD are able to weather the storm and keep the Mavs there at 6. Or sorry, keep the Suns there at 6.
Sorry, Justin, what was your answer again?
Mavs.
Mavs. So we got Mavs, Kings, and Suns. Interesting. The last one that's only really become a conversation this week. I feel like it was kind of on the fringes, but it's really been pushed to a conversation this week. And I've been reloading this page. Let me see if it's updated since pre-pod. It has not, unfortunately. I've been looking at the playoff probability module on Basketball Reference. Hasn't updated. But the who will miss the postseason entire league race is between the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Rockets. With a Warriors loss tonight, the Rockets are within one game. Rockets are 9-1 in their last 10. Dubs are 4-6. Lakers are 6-4. Who gets on the outside looking in? Who's the team that misses?
Houston.
Rockets.
It's a fun story. It reminds me a bit of the Thunder last year. But you look at remaining schedule. Golden State has the 5th easiest schedule of anybody in the NBA remaining. Lakers are 11th, and Houston has the 11th hardest.
Yeah. And that's, you have to credit Houston for as good as they've been and like are making this conversation. But like you look at their recent stretch of games and like since kind of early mid-March, I'm going to skip over some of the teams that are actually good, but like just to think about how many horrible teams they played along the way, just since early March, like this month. Blazers, Spurs, Wizards again, Bulls, Jazz, Blazers. It's like they have beat some good teams in there. Like I'm not discounting that, but it's been a lot of cakewalks too. And then you look upcoming, like Jacob mentioned, you've got Mavs, you got Timberwolves, you got Thunder, you got Warriors, you got Heat, you got Mavs again, you got Magic. Clipper, it's about to get real. And if they do it, kudos to them. I just don't see this rate of success continuing.
The only thing I would add there to what both of you said is this has largely been led by Jalen Green, who's been fantastic over the past, 10 games specifically, but even a little before that. If I'm having to put all my money on Jalen Green, I'm not really feeling confident about that, given his track record. And so for that reason, I don't see Jalen keeping this up for this Rockets team moving forward.
So does everyone say Houston is on the outside looking in?
It'd be awesome if like the Lakers got eliminated, but yeah, it's probably Houston.
It's just crazy that it's a conversation. Yeah. And for what it's worth, I also think Houston, but right now I have 0% faith in the Golden State Warriors.
Agreed.
They are washed. It's bad.
I think I'd rather see Golden State in the first round if OKC keeps the 1 seed than Houston, even though I'd pick the Thunder in both. Like, I know they have Steph.
Yeah, you have a short memory.
Bad things happen when the Thunder go to Houston. Austin. It scares me.
True. Bad things happen when Golden State comes to
OKC.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. I'm with Taylor, though. Like, neither one of those scare me in the playoffs.
Right.
I'm scared about every matchup. Who's with me?
Me. Yes, same.
We all will be very anxious. Absolutely.
It's fun to say, oh, I think they're going to get past the first round. When we're doing playoff preview, every single one of us is going to be saying, oh.
Seven game series.
Six, my hair's gray.
Thunder and seven.
Especially the next playoff run might be the start of my drinking career.
That's next career. Month, partner.
Nice. I know. You guys
get ready to learn whiskey.
All right. The last 3 weeks of the season is going to be insane watching these four Western Conference races play out, though. I think it adds a lot of intrigue down the stretch. Speaking of intrigue, Justin, we've got predictions to talk about and make before we get out of here. Why don't you give the folks an update on what's going on with these predictions?
Do you notice how much more excited he is about this segment the last few weeks?
I am undefeated in the past 3 weeks, folks. Zero losses.
Wow. Yeah, so Jacob's in first.
Should I start betting?
Jacob's currently sitting at 49 points after a perfect week. Also, with
I've never
perfect
made a parlay
week.
In my life.
Also with a perfect week this last week, JD and myself.
Let's go.
Who used that perfect week to chip away at Mr. Nicholas's lead, who sits at 42 points, Silva at 41, myself at 40, and Taylor at 38.
Taylor pulling I'm off tanking. A quality late season tank here.
That's right. Call me the Detroit Pistons. I am tanking.
Well,
do I get a first-round pick next year?
I'm not sure there's an incentive.
There's no incentive. Yeah.
There's no incentive here.
You also but started still, off the season pretty well, so it's less Detroit, more. I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah, that's.
You don't want to be Detroit. Detroit's just been trash
maybe he's
for
Houston.
Like a decade.
Hopefully, I go on a run here to end the season like Houston.
There are 12 games to predict remaining on the schedule.
That makes me sad.
Which means and like what 16?
Jacob is up by seven points. Yeah, so there is that puts 15 points on the table. Yeah. Unless Jacob changes the rules, which he probably won't because he's winning.
We can change them. Every game is worth 5 points now.
barring that, 15 points to make up quite a bit of ground on Jacob.
Well, can we like whether we end it regular season and start a new one in playoffs or we continue it through the playoffs? Can we do it in the playoffs also?
100%.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Why don't we do some like Mario Party bullshit and everyone besides Jacob gets like some extra points at the end?
Gets a star.
Gets a star.
Traveled the farthest. Who won the most mini games?
Nick picked the most. Nick. Most Moneyball L's.
Yeah.
Probably.
There we go. Probably.
That would actually be pretty interesting. Maybe we'll look into something like that.
Analytics.
I like it. All right. We have four on the docket this week, gentlemen. The first one. The Thunder head down to the Big Easy to take on the New Orleans Pelicans on Tuesday night, as JD mentioned earlier in the show. No Brandon Ingram, but there's another thick boy that I got in trouble for saying one
was
is thicker
hilarious.
Than the other.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the live podcast we did on Friday where you said thick boy on thick boy and a bunch of people walked in the door and looked over like,
no, they walked in when I said one's always thicker than the other. And I was like, the context there is very poor. Nick, what is your prediction down in New Orleans?
I have to make a confession. You sent the request for picks kind of late, and I was in the middle of doing something. So
picks?
I just, what?
Oh, yeah.
For these. I'll get at the end. I just put random win-loss in a certain pattern via DM. I have no clue who I was picking or what I was picking. But since this was the first game of the week, I just put Moneyball next to it. So I guess Pelicans win Moneyball.
All right. Nothing like cramming before the test.
JD, what happens in New Orleans?
Well, it's in the Big Easy, but this prediction sure wasn't. I predicted a W.
All right, Justin.
I'm giving myself a ding just for that joke.
It's in the Big Easy, but this game won't be. That's an L, partner.
Taylor?
I have the W.
this Thunder team responds well after losses. Typically, I think they're going to win this one.
I went with a dub as well down in New Orleans. The next night, they come home for a Sega Baba against the aforementioned Houston Rockets. And the Rockets keep the winning streak up in Oklahoma City. Taylor, what do you think?
I took the L. Sega Baba, this team hasn't been extremely consistent, being the Thunder down the stretch. Rockets are hot. I could see them dropping this one, which will suck for all of us.
I think Taylor's getting a little desperate, making some desperation picks swinging. Here.
Got to. Swinging for the fences.
Justin, what happens against the Rockets?
They're going to get a win, and I'm so confident in this. It's my money ball. I think we're going to get to see what the Rockets look like when they play an actual team with a pulse.
JD.
I think it'd be entertaining if the Rockets did get the 9 seed, so I predicted the Thunder losing against the Rockets.
Jeez. Nick?
As the pattern goes, win, loss, win, loss. This one was an L.
Go back to the pattern.
I went with a Moneyball win against the Rockets.
Wow, this could be a big one if they take an L.
I took the L. Houston, I knew you guys
take the L. It might switch.
Just 3 points.
I should have Moneyballed this, but I did not.
3 points.
All right, Friday night, the Phoenix Suns are in town to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Another home game. Justin, what happens whenever the Suns come to OKC?
I'm going with a win here. Oklahoma City obviously plays well at home this season, and I think, weirdly enough, like not a bad matchup for them.
Okay, Nick?
I think you know the answer.
We're back on the W side of the pattern,
correct.
Yes?
That is correct.
JD?
So this was like the hardest four games to predict of the season for me for some reason. I just couldn't figure it out. So I started just picking with what I thought would be funny. so I predicted the Thunder win because it'd be funny if the Suns dropped out of the playoffs or dropped lower in the standings. So a W, a Moneyball.
Moneyball, dang.
Moneyball.
Taylor.
The Thunder going to lose at home on a Sega Baba versus Houston. They're going to respond well with a night off in between, back at home. Give me Suns Moneyball.
Wow.
Or sorry, Thunder Moneyball against the Suns.
I took a win against the Suns. The final game of the week, next Sunday before we come on the show, the Thunder go up to New York City to take on the Knicks. I'll go first. I went with an L against the Knicks.
Me
Taylor,
too.
What do you got?
I also have the L. Going up to the Garden, Knicks have been really, really good. I've got the L.
I don't even like gardens that much. JD, did you say L?
I did say L. You don't like gardens, like in general?
What do they do for me? Nothing.
I don't know.
Oxygen. Such a weird take.
I was about to say oxygen.
If you said, hey, do you want to go to the garden? My answer will be no.
Any garden?
Because it was Madison Square Garden or TD Garden. I would go to those two gardens.
Jacob, not a fan of the botanical garden in OKC. Wow. Noted.
They're plants, dude. Who have I not asked for this one? Justin, what happens in the garden?
In the garden, Thunder get a win. They get a win, you
cowards.
What
happened in the Garden of Eden?
They are going to go, you know, Madison Square Garden's not even square.
It's a rectangle.
Just say
good point.
They're going in, they're getting a dub.
Nick?
I thought about that for a while, Justin, after you said that.
I was like... I went
Madison Square Garden not being square. Yeah, you're right.
It's mine's blown.
Because it's by Madison Square, but that's irrelevant.
Yes. Yep. Thinking too deep. I went win loss. So this is a loss for me.
I like. Really? I wonder if Nick did that process for just the entire season, how it would play out.
I mean, not good because they're way better than 500, partner.
And if you just randomly like moneyballed each week,
it would not be good. I'd probably be down at 38 points with Taylor.
Wow.
Oof.
Oof. All right, gentlemen, any thoughts before we get out of here?
No.
Bucks.
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 It's our version of dogs barking.
We need two more. Come on, guys. JD and Taylor, give us
one. I was waiting for Silva.
I said Bucks.
Bucks.
Unbelievable. Thank you for tuning in to the Uncontested, the live stream, even after a crappy loss against the
Bucks.
Thank you. We still had a ton of people in here. So thank you guys so much for hanging out. Before you log off tonight, hit that like button, please. It would mean a ton to us. If you listen to the podcast version or watching the YouTube video later, thanks for checking us out. We really appreciate you. As the playoffs near, make sure to check back with the Uncontested for all of your Thunder coverage. We will be back not Tuesday night because we don't podcast on nights before we do a weekly show. So we'll be back Wednesday to talk about the Pelicans and the Houston game. So join us then. Friday night, we'll be here breaking down the Phoenix Suns. And then, as always, next Sunday, 9 p.m. Central Time, we will be here hanging out after that Thunder versus Knicks in the not-so-squared Madison Square Garden. You guys have a great beginning of your week. We will see you Wednesday night. Until then, and as always, Bucks.